books. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our book pick segment. We always love book picks every Tuesday. Normally, we have a pair of booksellers, and one of our booksellers had to drop out. They were traveling and unable to join us today. So we have one bookseller. But, you know, if you have one as great as Jim Havener, you're set. You're all set. He's got a great list of books from Green Toad Bookstore in Oneonta, New York. It's a great pleasure to have Jim back to the program. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Really nice to have you. How are things going in Oneonta? How are things going at the store?
Very good. Lots of snow, very cold weather, but we're finding it's great weather for people to have a book in their hands.
Very nice.
Yes.
Well, good stuff. All right. You have a great collection here before you. Where would you like to begin?
Let's start with an Irish writer, a new writer out. I guess she's actually American, Irish-American, since we're coming up on my favorite month of the Irish time, Shearshaw by Charlene Hurtubise. And this story is about a woman who grows up in Michigan, Sarah, and as a teenager, she escapes and goes to, in 1999, goes to the Donegal. And she has a family, has two daughters, a wonderful husband, and she becomes a painter. And they make a really safe home that she's always longed for, but she has a secret that haunts her. She's taken on someone else's identity.
Oh, dear.
And so anyway, there's this mystery in there, but she creates this new life in Donegal. And, of course, her artwork's really wonderful. And she exhibits it in Dublin, and the spotlight of fame threatens to unravel the careful lives that she's built around her world together. Journalists and admirers start to question her about herself and that, and she fears that this identity that she's taken is going to be discovered. So it's an exploration. This is Hurtubise's first book, and I think it's a new talent. Actually found her in The Stinging Fly, which is an Irish anthology of new fiction.
So, oh, good stuff. And what's that called? What was
the Stinging Fly?
The Stinging Fly. Oh,
yeah.
I have to find out about that.
It's a literary magazine that's been put out probably for 30, 35 years.
Wonderful. All right. Great. And again, the name of the book is Shearshaw. All right. Next up.
The next one is Thiel of Golden by Alan Levy. This is his first book. I've been selling this book like crazy. It came out, I believe, in November, and it was a big sell at Christmas time and still is going. It's about Theo. And he visits his local coffee shop where there are about 92 pencil drawings hangs on the wall, portraits of the people of Golden done by a local artist. And he begins purchasing them one at a time and putting them back in the hands of the rightful owners. With each exchange, a story is told, a new friendship is born, and a life altered. It's a really wonderful book about giving and receiving, seeing and being seen. It's a wonderfully crafted novel. I wait to hear some more from Alan Levy because this is so beautifully written.
Alan Levy is the author of Theo of Golden, and when that was in hardcover, I heard a lot about it. Well, it's in paperback,
right.
I've heard a lot about
right.
it, so it's very good stuff. Theo of Golden by Alan Levy. All right. Brand new book out today.
Out today, called Brawler. It's by Lauren Groff. It's a group of stories, and I have a little side story on Lauren. I remember when she was a little girl living in Cooperstown, and
That's
her
right.
parents would bring furniture to my restoration shop, and I always remember her being so full of questions for a 9-year-old. It was really quite fascinating. But Lauren's got a new group of stories out. I like Lauren. She lives in Florida, and this stories range from the 1950s up to today, and from New England to Florida to California. And there's 9 stories. And basically, these 9 stories are somewhat linked, but then it's still, at the same time, are very much standalone. And what I love about Lauren is that she has a great insight into the human nature. And it's got a lot of feeling, a lot of emotions. I'm usually not a short story collector or reader, but I really liked a number of these out of this book.
There are 9 stories in the book. Some are very short. Some are quite long. Some, even one is, I would consider, a novella.
Yeah.
I spoke to her yesterday. She'll be on an upcoming edition of the book show. She is ever delightful. And I will say that the book is just phenomenal. I've read many, many reviews of it, and I've not read a bad one. They're just, she's one of our great, great writers. And the new book is a collection of stories. Last collection of stories was called Florida. And as you mentioned,
that's right.
She lives in Florida, in Gainesville, yeah. And she has a bookstore, like you.
Yes.
She has a bookstore,
yes.
And it's called Lynx Books.
Lynx Books, yes.
And it got started. Do you know the story?
No.
It got started because she decided to stock all of the books that Ron DeSantis didn't want in schools and stores. Isn't that great?
It's a lot of books.
Yeah, it's a lot of books. And that's where it started. And Lynx Books, I think, is now 2 years. 2 or 3 years old.
Oh, that's wonderful. I
didn't
realize
stuff.
That.
Yeah,
no.
Gainesville, Florida. All right.
All right. My next book is called Call Me Ishmael. It's by, and I'm probably mispronouncing this name, Zilu Guo, I believe his name. It's one of Chinese writer, woman, who has written in her adopted language of English. And this is a retelling of Melville's masterpiece, Moby Dick, which we always kind of dread from our high school years and that there, which I read many years later. And this is the power of rereading. I absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it and ate it up very, very quickly. So that's my little dib for rereading. But Ishmael's born in a small village in Kent and in England, and then her parents and her infant sister die. Her brother leaves to work as a sailor. And abandoned and desperate for life at sea, she disguises herself as a cabin boy and travels to New York. The American Civil War is breaking out this time, and she boards the Nimrod, a whaling ship commanded by an obsessive Captain Seneca, a black free man of heroic stature who's haunted by a tragic past. On board, known as Ishmael, she participates in the whalings and finds protectors, the Polynesian harpooner, the Taoist monk, and amid its bloody male violence, discovers a mysterious bond between herself and the white whale who claims Seneca's leg. It's a great swashbuckling tale. Coming from a Chinese perspective, which I think is really, really wonderful and gives the story really a quite a twist and actually probably reads a little bit quicker than the original Moby Dick.
The book Call Me Ishmael. All right.
Okay. Now for a new book that's out by Jeanette McCurdy called Half His Age. She wrote a memoir here not so long ago called I'm Glad My Mom Died, which I always find an interesting title. But her name is Waldo, and she's 17 years old. And the thing she wants all is Mr. Corgi, her creative writing teacher. And he's got wife and kids and a mortgage and bills. And he's kind of a mid-level teacher, and he's kind of got a growing paunch, and she doesn't know why she likes him.
Sort of schlubby.
Schlubby, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Schlubby. Is it passion? Is it life experience? Does the fact that he knows books and films like she likes to know? Or is it something deeper than that, a kind of connection of kindred spirits in that? Mr. Corgi, is a great character in this book, but it's really kind of a story about a 17-year-old. It's funny. It's poignant. It's a little bit racy.
Yeah.
But she disregards all obstacles and really, really kind of tries to attempt to understand herself in this relationship.
And it's the book has a fascinating backstory. It's the first novel by Jeanette McCurdy, who is known for the best-selling author of I'm Glad My Mom Died, which was a memoir. But that thing was on the bestseller list.
Oh,
I think
yes.
It still is in paperback form now, but in hardcover for years.
Yes, yes.
It was, it really, it certainly struck a chord, let's put it that way. And she was an actress and writer, and this is her first novel, and it's Half His Age by Jeanette McCurdy. And it can be a little naughty, but when she goes off on these descriptions and it's just a torrent, it's great.
It is. It's just full force energy.
Oh, my God. It's like you're just getting doused with a fire hose. It's just great. And I just say the energy of it is quite terrific. Half His Age Jeanette McCurdy.
It's all propulsive. Right. Very propulsive.
Yeah, propulsive is the great word, yes.
Now, just came in a nice big box yesterday. Is this what I love about book selling? It's like every day you get a box.
It's a holiday.
It is. It's like Christmas over and over again. And this is a book called A World Appears, A Journey into Consciousness by our friend Michael Pollan, who's written many, many books, of course, starting out with books on food and lately on how to change your mind with psychedelics and different things like this. He's a wonderful lyrical kind of writer. This book deals with the phenomenon of consciousness. And we all kind of agree, our scientists and philosophers and artists all agree, is that it feels like something to be us. Yet the fact that with the subjective experience of the world remains one of the nature's greatest mysteries. How is it that our mental operations are accompanied by feelings, thoughts, and a sense of self? How would a scientific investigation of an inner life look like when we have a little distance and perspective on it as a fish does of the sea? Pollan traces the unmapped continent of the consciousness. And what I really like about it is it comes from a very different radical perspective, scientific, philosophical, literary, spiritual, and psychedelic. See what it can teach us about the central fact of life. Neuroscientists really started studying consciousness in the 1990s. And how and why this 3 pounds of spongy gray matter we have all in our skulls could generate a subjective point of view. And Pollan takes us to the cutting edge of the field where scientists are entertaining more radical and less materialist theories of consciousness. He introduces to plant neurobiologists, scientists striving to engineer feelings into AI, which you talked about a lot in the panel today.
Yes.
And psychologists and novelists seeking to capture the felt experience of our slippery stream of consciousness. And just think of what I just said in regards to just this book that we just talked about, Jeanette McCurdy's.
Yes.
You know, how does a writer really try to capture that subjectivity of a character in that? It's wonderful, wonderful writing. Michael Pollan, it's just out, and I think it'll probably be one of his major works.
It is. He is great. Best known, I think, for The Omnivore's Dilemma, which was his big hit book, as you said, a writer about food for a long time. And then more recently, and you touched on the psychedelic nature of things, but I think his last book was How to Change Your Mind, What the New Science of Psychedelics Teaches Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, Depression, and Transcendence. And I read that book, and I'm not sure I quite understood it other than it's... It seemed like it was trying to sell me LSD and mushrooms, and I wasn't in the market, but it was still interesting. But it seems like this book, and I have not read this
book,
is an expansion of that, of an idea of furthering the point.
Right.
Looking at our mind as a laboratory. Right. And that we are able to just do all kinds of stuff with it that we don't really realize.
True. And this kind of goes back to one of his first books, A Place of My Own. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but him building a cabin behind his house in the woods in Maine all by himself, which I think that's how I was introduced to Michael Pollan when I read that book, more so than his more known books in that regards. But it's this creating this place for myself and for my mind in that. So it seems like he's still on that journey.
Indeed. The new book is A World Appears, A Journey into Consciousness, and it is out today. All right. Anything else you would like to share with us about the bookstore and what's going on?
Well, coming to Oneonta at Hartwick College on March 26 is a writer with a new biography on Edgar Allan Poe, Richard Copley. And I just finished that book, and it's just a wonderful book about Poe, which I knew a little bit about and had read some of his stuff many, many years ago, and how his life is intertwined with his writing and really the consciousness of the time period that he was in and in the literary world that he was in at the time. And so he will be at Hartwick, I believe, on March 26. You can go on to their website see that. But it's a very, very fine biography.
And a little weird, right? Edgar Allan Poe, a little weird?
Yeah, well, no, not so much. I think he was really a product of ill health and poverty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's that intertwined in it.
Yes.
Too. You know, when you're starving and you're depressed, I think that probably, and that leads into his writing and how he presented himself.
Richard Copley, Edgar Allan Poe, A Life, and the event at Hartwick College, and you can check it out
online.
You can also check out the list that Jim presented us this morning at greentoadbookstore.com, greentoadbookstore.com. You can see all of our lists on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Jim Havener, it's always great to have you on the program. You're a delight, and I appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. We will continue with the roundtable and our second half hour of this third hour after this news break.